20. Moonshine. On January 31, 2006, President George W. Bush delivered a State of the Union address in which he declared that the United States was, unfortunately, addicted to oil. A generation after President Jimmy Carter had declared America's oil dependency to be the moral equivalent of war, and as casualties in Bush's Iraq War accumulated, the president laid out a timetable for greater American energy independence, driven above all by his exhaustion with radical suppliers such as Venezuela and Iran. Keeping America competitive requires affordable energy, and here we have a serious problem. America is addicted to oil, which is often imported from unstable parts of the world. The best way to break this addiction is through technology, and we are on the threshold of incredible advances. So tonight I announce the Advanced Energy Initiative, a 22% increase in clean energy research. We must also change how we power our automobiles. We will increase our research in better batteries for hybrid and electric cars and in pollution-free cars that run on hydrogen. We will also fund additional research in cutting-edge methods of producing ethanol, not just from corn, but from wood chips and stalks or switchgrass. Our goal is to make this new kind of ethanol practical and competitive within 6 years. Breakthroughs on this and other new technologies will help us reach another great goal, to replace more than 75% of our oil imports from the Middle East by 2025. By applying the talent and technology of America, this country can dramatically improve our environment, move beyond a petroleum-based economy, and make our dependence on Middle Eastern oil a thing of the past. For the president, a recovering alcohol abuser and the scion of a political family whose fortune came from the oil patch, to choose the metaphor of addiction for the country's oil economy was a striking and even radical rhetorical decision. His announcement of a national goal to free the United States from Middle Eastern oil imports was more familiar, but striking nonetheless. As with most political speeches, however, the gap between word and practical policy was vast. Since 2001, the Bush administration had regularly advertised its willingness to invest federal funds in alternative energy technology research as a means to deflect calls for more immediate policies to combat climate change, such as a national limit on total carbon dioxide emissions or a carbon tax. In that sense, Bush's new technology investment plans in 2006 were nothing new and were correctly seen by environmentalists as another effort to finesse the climate issue. Even so, there was no reason to doubt the sincerity of the president's wish that capitalism and technological innovation might quickly produce breakthroughs that would make America's oil dependency obsolete. Like many Americans, Bush seemed to receive the September 11 attacks as a message that reliance on unstable oil-producing Muslim regimes, such as those in Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Iraq, was in some generalized or intuitive sense debilitating and unsustainable for the United States. America consumed roughly 20 million barrels of oil each day, of which up to 12 million was imported. Of the total, more than two-thirds was used to fuel cars, trucks, and airplanes. To change oil import dependency would almost certainly require changing transport fuels. Bush called one of his first alternative energy technology research programs, an effort at the Department of Energy to develop hydrogen fuel cell technology as an alternative to the gasoline combustion engine, the Freedom Car and Fuel Partnership. The implication of the Freedom mantra seemed to be that if Americans could find a way to drive their open highways and shop in their sprawling suburbs without purchasing oil from the Middle East or Venezuela, the nation's liberties would be strengthened. Yet it was the policy of the United States not to ask American households to make sacrifices to achieve this outcome. Much of America's need to import oil resulted from the country's gas-guzzling habits. Per capita and per highway mile driven, Americans in their SUVs and six-cylinder sedans consumed much more gasoline than any other people on Earth. This relative overconsumption was, for many conservatives, including ExxonMobil's Lee Raymond, simply another manifestation of American freedom. A European or Asian authoritarian government might have attacked the problem of overconsumption of gasoline by taxing, planning, regulating, or otherwise mandating change. Yet Bush and Republican leaders in Congress made no serious effort to require Americans to drive more fuel-efficient cars. The president's only initiative was to pursue a technological leap away from oil dependency by investing in basic research. This placed his thinking firmly in the tradition of emotionally declared, inadequately engineered American energy policies dating back to Richard Nixon. ExxonMobil's executives regarded the president's romanticism about energy independence and alternative technologies as misguided. Describing the United States as addicted to oil was an unfortunate choice of words, quite frankly, Tillerson said. To say that you're addicted to oil and natural gas seems to me to say you're addicted to economic growth. ExxonMobil executives privately traded theories of psychological analysis about Bush. Perhaps the president felt compelled to distance himself from his family's history in the oil business, or he feared his legacy as president would be oiled if he did not forcefully endorse alternative energy investments. On the big policy issues that mattered most to ExxonMobil, taxation, climate, domestic drilling, Bush had delivered or had made a valiant effort in Congress. Yet the president also returned again and again to what senior ExxonMobil executives in Irving and Washington believed were fantasies about alternative energy breakthroughs that might lead to some Valhalla of energy independence. Cheney didn't have that problem, an ExxonMobil executive recalled. Cheney was well-grounded. Don't screw with the facts and let's deal with it kind of thing. And Bush just was always afraid he was being associated with the oil industry. That analysis of the president was perhaps too easy. Bush genuinely wished to remake the world that had led to the September 11 attacks. Radicalism stoked by Saudi clerics, generations of young Arab men coming of age and stultifying societies. It was obvious even to a free market traditionalist like Bush that America did its share to enable such dysfunction by importing so much oil and assuring the wealth of anti-American exporters. There was no reason to doubt that Bush would be pleased if research investments in alternative energy that he directed were one day remembered as the catalyst that ended the oil age. Like presidents of both parties before him, however, he lacked the depth of conviction, the political coalitions, and the scientific vision to do more than toss relative pennies into a wishing fountain.